Good evening, everyone. You are now listening to the podcast, The Leaves of a Victim Nevermore, with Stephen Wilson. I am Stephen Wilson, and I am a drug addict, and I am an adult survivor of childhood sex abuse. This podcast is a means of therapy, catharsis, contemplation of the things that I go through in my group therapy. And the group therapy is adult men that were also raped and molested as children. This podcast is for individuals that identify as victims of abuse or addiction. And I'm going to maintain the schedule, I guess that's what I'm going to call it, of reading some of my favorite works before I get to the actual topic of the individual episode. I'm going to be reading a poem from Edgar Allan Poe, my favorite author. And this one is entitled The Sleeper. At midnight in the month of June, I stand beneath the mystic moon. An opiate vapor, dewy, dim, exhales from out her golden rim. And softly, dripping drop by drop upon the quiet mountaintop, steals drowsily and musically into the universal valley. The rosemary nods upon the grave. The lily lolls upon the wave, wrapping the fog about its breast. The ruin molders into rest, looking like Lethe. See the lake. A conscious slumber seems to take, and would not for the world awake. All beauty sleeps, and lo, where lies Irene with her destinies. O lady bright, can it be right? This window open to the night, the wanton air from the treetop, laughingly through the lattice drop. The bodiless air, a wizard rout, flit through the chamber in and out, and wave the curtain canopy, so fitfully, so fearfully, above the closed and fringed lid, neath which thy slumber soul lies hid. That over the floor and down the wall, like the ghosts in the shadows rise and fall. O dear lady, hast thou no fear? Why and what art thou dreaming here? Sure thou art come over far off seas, a wonder to these garden trees. Strange is thy parlor, strange thy dress, strange above all the length of tress, and all this solemn silentness. The lady sleeps. Oh, may her sleep, which is enduring, so be deep. Heaven have her in its sacred keep, this chamber changed for one more holy, this bed for one more melancholy. I pray to God that she may lie forever with unopened eye, while the pale sheeted ghosts go by. My love, she sleeps. Oh, may her sleep, as it is lasting, so be deep. Soft may the worms about her creep. Far in the forest, dim and old, for her may come, tall vault unfold, some vault that oft hath flung its black, and winged panels fluttering back, triumphant over the crested palls of her grand family funerals, some sepulcher remote and alone, against whose portal she hath thrown, in childhood many an idle stone, some tomb from out whose sounding door she ne'er shall force an echo more. Thrilling to think, poor child of sin, it was the dead who groaned within. that was the poem The Sleeper, and the poet is Edgar Allan Poe. This week's podcast is going to be dealing with the topic of art therapy. Now, when I was in college and I matriculated, art therapy had been separated into many different areas, but it mainly stayed around the premise of psychotherapy. Art therapy is really about the relationship between the patient and the therapist. You can kind of understand it as a reverse form of Rorschach. And I think I need to disclose that when I was in school, I did not give much thought or merit to music therapy or art therapy or anything like that. And art therapy today is actually a regulated form of therapy. And I went through it. And I cannot say that it worked, because although there is an art series that I have, I doubt that it will ever be exhibited, because the therapist wanted me to go all the way back to the trauma of being raped. Some of the works, they are cerebral, they are heartfelt, but there is part of the series that deals specifically with the things that happened when I was in seventh grade. And the therapist believed that I had to take those negative things and create something out of them. And because I'm already an artist and a poet and a writer, she believed that it would be a natural behavior, I believe is how she put it, that it wouldn't feel like therapy. But putting them on canvas or panel, I can tell you that I don't actually feel in the long term that it has been beneficial. To be sure, in the beginning there was some relief. But I have to tell you truthfully that now the paintings do exist. Those traumatic events, those memories that I had buried so deep when I was young, and the things that I have done throughout my teenage and adult years, I have now put them in the form of art, in the stucco and the acrylic and the plaster of Paris and the pumice stone and the sand and all the materials that I use, the panzer mesh, the wire lath. And there's no way to bury them. I mean, obviously, I could destroy them. But I don't really think anybody would want to see these. I can't imagine anybody would want to go through that, because that's exactly what I did. For those of you that are unfamiliar with art therapy is regulated in America and in Europe. And the genesis primer to it, it deals simply with the idea that the patient or the consumer, whatever name you want to give them, whatever I am, the victim, is a process of healing through art therapy. And again, it is regimented in regards to its method, and the relationship with the therapist is extremely relevant to how the art therapy is allowed to work. And I put it that way on purpose, because the therapist does have you on a leash. Or at least that's how it started out with me before I cut the thing off. And I am going to put some of the pictures taken of the artwork on my website. It should be up in a couple weeks, maybe sooner. Because in showing the artwork to some of the members of my survivors group, the men that had been raped and molested, there's always that warning in the beginning of group. What you are about to hear may behave like a trigger to your own trauma. If you do not feel like it is, or you are strong enough, you have to leave. In group therapy, the common strand between us is the fact that we've all been raped, we've all been molested, we all know what it feels like. But it seems that I've isolated myself, because when you're in group, it just remains oral. It is just a language game that you can't win. You share it, and you share it the best you can. You put it in words that people may or may not understand. But I have taken my past, I have taken my trauma, and I have put it visually on the wall. And it seems like I've isolated myself from the other members of the group. I don't know how that's going to play out. But when we start talking about art holistically, art for me in regards to the things that I believe in, my own philosophy of art, art has always been the logical symbolism of relationships. Person to person, person to city, person to self, person to the planet. We didn't choose to be born. We didn't choose to look the way we do. We didn't choose to be born at this time with all the things around us. That is why adaptation and assimilation are so crucial to our actual existence. It is not a folly. It is required of all of us. And so, for myself, you start dealing with the actions, the consequences, the cause to effect. And you find yourself going into Freud. Because art therapy, whether you like it or not, is fully engulfed in psychotherapy, psychoanalysis. And the only thing that really does remain of Sigmund Freud are his defense mechanisms. Accountability. Projection, repression. Because when you dig and you hide these things away and then you decide to undig and bring them to the surface, you have to relive them all over again. You see, that's how the pedophile wins. What they've done cannot be forgiven. And what they've taken cannot be returned. And I did not think about the consequences of putting these things in ceramic, stucco, and acrylic, in sand. I did not think about putting them on panel and canvas. I didn't think about the consequences. I didn't think about the effect that it would have on others. Art therapy is supposed to be about self-esteem, getting rid of the negative and filling in the void with something positive. But what if the negative turns into something worse? It's part of the reason that I use drugs. I would rather be numb than feel. And the idea that these paintings now exist, they make the memories come back around, and I deal with them every time I see them. And I wish I could tell you that I was stronger. I wish I could tell you that everything was going to be fine. I wish I could tell you that there was going to be a happy ending, but it doesn't feel that way. She had called it a natural behavior. But in the moment, the art therapy has made art ugly. And it festers. It is caustic, corrosive. Now, I understand that I may be bringing my own baggage into this, my own history. And again, I did give you the disclaimer that I did not give merit to music therapy and art therapy. I do remember there was one student. He was currently in grad school. And he brought a keyboard in, and he turned out the lights, and he requested that everybody close their eyes and think and hold on to a memory that caused us pain or grief. Now, I'm not going to go through experimental design or ethics, or you exit as you enter. But I remember that class, because here this young man had spent all of his undergrad and apparently his graduate career believing that music therapy was going to be a means of healing. You see, art therapy, music therapy, arts therapy, whatever umbrella term they're going to come up with, they're basically using one tool for all things. Art therapy has been studied on people with dementia, Alzheimer's, schizophrenia, geriatric. It's people that are bipolar, people that are borderline personality. The studies are there, the empirical data is there, and individual therapy does not seem to work on most people. Now, in group therapy, there does appear to be some differential, and there does appear to be some statistical proof that there is some benefit to going into group therapy and doing art therapy. But I believe that's because group therapy works for a reason. And art therapy does not interfere with that core principle. Everybody in the room, theoretically, realistically, have all been through the same thing. They're all addicts, they're all junkies, they're all victims of abuse, they've all been raped, etc., etc. That one thing that ties us together can be found in a modality like music therapy or art therapy or dance or whatever the therapist believes is going to work. But the fact is that the art therapists that are in America and in Europe, like everybody in the social sciences, they want to validate. They want the proof that what they're doing with themselves actually works. But when you try to take that negative and you make it a positive, you're ignoring the permanence of art. My own personal philosophy is that good art is a wound. Great art is the scarification from that wound. It didn't heal properly because it forces us to realize what we've done to ourselves and to those around us, what we do for God and country, what we do to the planet, what we do to ourselves, what we do to our family members, our parents, our neighbors, our classmates, our teammates. And putting it on canvas, putting it on panel, makes it permanent. I can tell you from personal experience that you do have it in you to get rid of all of these bad memories. I understand that drug abuse and alcohol abuse, I understand that these things are deemed detrimental and in most places illegal. But the fact is that trying to escape reality is something the human has been doing for a very long time. Humans do it every single day, and they do it for their own reasons, and the fact is that drugs, like the escapism, it works. The same way that you go into a song from one of your favorite performers, and you know the lyrics, and you sing it in the shower, or you sing it in the car, in the same way you go to the movie theater, and you disappear for a couple hours into the story, and you think that you're one of the characters. If you pick up some stranger and you have sex with them, or you jump out of a perfectly good plane and the parachute opens and you film it and somebody's helping you fall to the ground because you cannot deny gravity. All of these things are identified as escapism. But in art, it again is the logical symbolism of relationships. And so here, my art therapy is the relationship with myself and the teacher that raped me. And then subsequently, all the people that I have hurt, the double life, the deception, the lies, the stealing. All of these things happened. And I knew that it was happening. Again, I want to believe. I want to believe that the sleeper can wake. I want to believe. But at this point in my life, at this age, I cannot tell you for sure. Because this time in art therapy, it did not feel natural. When I was mixing the acrylic and the sand, when I was mixing the plaster, when I was mixing the stucco, when I was at the easel, for the first time, holding a hawk and my knives in my hands, it felt unnatural, it felt foreign, it felt alien. I found no relief. I know some of you have made it clear that you think that I am a quitter because I went back to the drugs. I am bound by the rules of engagement set forth by the theories and philosophies of the aesthetic. As an artist, my intention has nothing to do with your interpretation. I can no more tell you the meaning of life than I can tell you how to interpret one of my own paintings, one of my short stories, one of my novels. You do with it what you do. You take from it what you do, and if you leave it, if you keep it, that's on you. The only thing that I can do is give everything in me. The therapist wanted to know what happened to me in seventh grade. This is a problem that you find throughout therapy, the MSW, the PhD in psychology. These individuals, they have never been victims. They don't use drugs. They're not alcoholic. They don't know what it's like. Their occupation innately is vicarious. And I cannot respect that. I wish I could tell you that I changed my mind about music therapy and art therapy, but I haven't. I didn't make fun of that young man that day. When he got done with the keyboard, he turned the lights back on, we opened our eyes. I didn't make fun of him. Many of the students thought that it was pretty cool that we wasted an entire class. No notes, no Q&A, no debates. The professor gave him the entire class period. And everybody was happy when it was time to leave. But I felt nothing but pity. I felt sorry for him. I have no idea what came of him. But his belief in art therapy, it was misguided at best. But I hope that he feels that he has made a difference in the lives of the people that he has contacted every day over the years, month by month, decade by decade. Whatever mental health, whatever addiction. I hope that he feels that he has made the world a better place. But I just felt sorry for him. Well, that's all I have for tonight's show. My name is Stephen Wilson. I am a drug addict, and I am an adult survivor of childhood sex abuse. You have been listening to the podcast For the Leaves of a Victim Nevermore. Be a blessing, and may you find serenity.